good morning, everybody. We're GFBS. It's time now for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast, something we do every Wednesday and Friday here at the studios. And joining us today is realty expert John Brodeen, and we'll be talking with John right after this.
Look, if home feels too big, let's get you a smaller one. And it's okay if the process seems daunting or you're having a hard time letting go. Because our network agents have the expertise to help you downsize and get you to just the right size. Now, let's go get you home.
All right, we're back with your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. In the studio, realty expert John Brodeen. John, how you doing, man?
Hey, hey, I'm good.
Been like a month, I think, since I've seen you.
I know, you were in Daytona. You have fun then?
Oh, yeah. And you were stuck up here in some nasty, bad weather.
Yeah.
Like the whole time I was gone.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it was, we had a lot, it was like really cold.
Yeah.
I think the stretch while you were gone, it was really cold.
It was. Believe me, I was keeping track.
You missed some good stuff. Yeah.
It was funny because I woke up in the motel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Saturday morning on the way down, and it was only about 40 degrees. So I come out of my motel room wearing shorts for the drive to Florida. And the lady at the front desk said, "Are you crazy or something? It's only 40 degrees." I said, "This is the first time I haven't had long johns on since the beginning of October, so I'm going to stretch it while I can.
That's freezing for them, though.
Yeah, it was. But I even got sunburned, so
hey, that's
not
good.
So bad.
Mission accomplished.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk rental property, things like that. Now, if I'm looking at buying rental property, is it better if I've got the cash to pay for it in cash, because everybody seems to think that's the way to go, it's the best way to do it, or should I buy with financing? What's the best way to go about that?
So my answer would be with financing.
Okay.
But it's going to depend a little bit on your situation and your risk tolerance and your tolerance for hassle. So I'll go over the pros and cons first of buying with cash. So the purchasing process is much easier. You have more negotiating leverage, so you're better chance of getting a good deal because you don't have to have any contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a quick closing. You don't have to wait for any mortgage or loan underwriting process. You get more cash flow right away, so you don't have a loan payment each month. So your cash flow right off the bat is going to be higher. You can afford to be able to pay a little bit more for something and have it still cash flow positive when you're paying cash. You're not paying any interest over the life of the loan. You have less monthly overhead. So that basically means more security. If you have long vacancies, if there's a drop in property values, if there's a drop in the rents. So basically it's a safer option in a lot of ways. And then the other thing that gives you added safety is you have all that equity. So if you ever got in a bind and you needed cash, you'd be able to pull that cash out of the property.
Oh, sure.
By refinancing or with a HELOC. You could do if it's long-term that you need the money, you could do a cash out refi. If it's short-term, a better option is doing a HELOC because it's cheaper in the short term.
What is a HELOC?
A home equity line of credit. That's a good question.
Okay.
I've been told I throw around real estate lingo too much, so I need to...
Roger that.
I need to explain myself more.
That's okay. That's what you're here for.
Yeah. Catch me if I'm doing that again.
I learn something new from you guys every week.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know the jargon.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
The talk, if you will.
Yeah. I need to just, you know... I need to simplify my things that I say.
Dumb it down for Roberts is
what
you need to do.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah. Okay, so the cons of buying with cash: no leverage. This is the biggest. This is the biggest con of buying with cash. You have the extra security, but you're not able to leverage the bank's money to control a larger asset with less of your own money. That's basically what leverage means.
Mm-hmm.
Also reduced buying power. You can't acquire as many units as fast. Fewer units means less diversification. So basically, if you have one unit that's performing poorly and you have fewer units, it's a larger percentage of your portfolio. So it's going to hurt your overall investment performance rather than if you had way more units. One bad unit, you know, one unit where you have a ton of expenses isn't going to hurt you as much.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
fewer tax benefits because the interest that you pay and the other fees that you pay as a part of the loan are tax deductible. And talk to your CPA about that. I'm not a CPA. There's the mandatory disclaimer.
Yep, there you go.
And the biggest, so no, the two biggest cons are no leverage, and you're going to get a lower return on investment. You're going to get a lower cash on cash return, and lower return on your equity. Return on equity is a number that you should always be looking at if you're a rental property investor. And it's basically how much of your own cash do you have in the deal? Maybe you've had a property for a long time, so your loan amount's very small, and maybe so you have $80,000 in equity and $100,000 property. You want to look at how much that $80,000 is earning you, because if you were to like pull the cash out and only have $20,000 of your own cash in there, your return on equity would basically quadruple.
Sure.
I had to think of what the four times quadruple. Going on
counting down the fingers there.
Not triple. So lower cash on cash return when you buy with cash, and you, because you're not leveraging it. So no leverage, lower cash on cash return. Those are the cons of purchasing with cash.
Okay.
The pros of financing. Leveraging. Leveraging is a really powerful tool, and it's kind of unique to real estate. You couldn't go to the bank and say, hey, I have $20,000 to put down. I'd like you guys to pay for the rest, and I want to buy $100,000 worth of Apple stock. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So by using, it's essentially you're almost partnering with the bank on rental properties when you finance them.
Sure,
you
know? Sure.
And you get all the upside in return for paying them their interest. So basically being able to buy four times as many units with the same initial investment.
Oh,
so
sure.
Let's run through a quick little scenario, and let's just talk about appreciation, how much the property goes up in value and what that means to you. So if you used $100,000 cash to buy one unit, and let's say after 5 years, it's increased by 10%. Now it's worth $110,000. You have $110,000 in total equity.
Okay. Yep.
So you made 10 grand over those 5 years, you know, not a super high return on your money, right? You know, if the stock market's on fire, you can do better other places. This isn't factoring in the other benefits of owning real estate, like the tax benefits and the cash flow. But this shows you what appreciation looks like if you use cash to buy a property. Now, if you use that same 100 grand, and you put $25,000 down on four different rental properties, after 5 years, same thing, each one of those $100,000 properties went up in value by 10%. So now each one of them is worth $110,000. Your total portfolio is worth $440,000.
Sure.
You still only put $1,000 or $100,000 in of your own cash. So now you have $140,000 in equity, and that's not even counting any loan pay down. Over those 5 years, your loan balances will have gone down, but we're just gonna ignore that for now.
Okay.
So it's a much larger when you think about like planting seeds, rather than just planting one seed, you've planted four seeds, and those seeds are growing into great big trees. The more seeds you can plant over the long term, the more the harder your money is working for you.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, and you hear that a lot. People, especially when they get my age or older, you start looking at ways to have your money make your money instead of you having to do it all on your own.
That's where that
comes in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than you want to transition out of trading your time for money and start letting the money that you've saved over the years start working on its own and you know, paying you. I think that's what everybody wants to accomplish eventually.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, like we talked about, fewer units means less diversification. More units also means more diversification. So, you know, you've got more units and you've got one poorly performing one that has a ton of expenses in 1 year, you're probably still profitable versus if you've only got a couple units and they're paid for in cash and you've got one poorly performing unit, your overall portfolio might be losing money for that year, whatever. And there's also a lower barrier to entry. So the biggest thing that people who want to become real estate investors, especially younger people who want to become real estate investors, is saving up that money that you need for the down payment. Now, if they're going to try to save up to purchase their first one in cash, you know, they might be waiting until, depending on when they start saving, they might be waiting until
forever,
way later in life yes. to be able to pay cash for property while property values are going up. So if they would have gotten into it with a loan, once they had enough for a down payment, that property going up is now adding to their net worth
mm-hmm.
instead of them sitting and saving and saving and saving. Sure. It's a much more conservative route to save and save and save and then pay in cash, because there's just there's a lot less that can go wrong. So now let's talk about the cons of financing. So the purchase process takes a little bit longer and you have a little bit more hassle since you have to go through loan underwriting, appraisal, et cetera. You're less competitive against cash offers. So a cash offer might be able to come in and get a better deal on a property versus if you have a loan that you need to get. The seller's going to know that there's a little more hassle involved, so it's not as attractive as the cash offer. So leverage compounds your gains, but it also can compound your losses. So let's say you have a few really bad years of real estate where property values go down, like, you know, uncommon in the Midwest, but let's say in the coastal markets, like what we saw in 2008.
Oh yeah, sure. Right?
Mm-hmm. If you're leveraged to the max, and now they don't let you leverage things to the max. So this is all on a scale too, like cash being the ultimate safest mm-hmm. possible way and to insulate yourself against things going wrong. Having more equity also insulates you against things going wrong. And if the more leveraged you are, is when you have less percentage of equity in the properties that you own. And so the more leveraged you are, the more risk there is. And that's just basically the equity compared to the loan balances on your properties. So if the equity that you have compared to the loan balances, the equity is low compared to the loan balances, that means you're highly leveraged. And the opposite of that would be owning it cash or having very small loan balances. You've got them almost paid off.
I learned a lot. I would assume if I was looking at buying rental property and I had the cash to do it, I would think that'd be the best way to go. But I never really looked at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
And it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. And the other thing is looking at where you're at in life, what your goals are. Maybe you're close to retirement. You don't want to start a bunch of 20, 30 year mortgages on mm-hmm. all these properties, and you don't want to have 10 properties to manage. You'd rather have, three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better for you to just, you know, keep things very secure, safe. You're well insulated against things going wrong. You're not trying to start a massive business and grow it over the next 30 years. Your goals might be different and your risk tolerance might be different. Naturally, you know, people, the closer they are to retirement age, their risk tolerance is lower than somebody who's in their 20s or 30s. That has all the time in the world to grow this thing into something huge.
Sure,
so
sure.
There's no right or wrong answer, and you've really got to just analyze your personal situation. The other cons of financing, like now that you mentioned this, is you've got more overhead, so you got less cash flow per unit. There's more things that can go wrong, like long vacancies and market downturns, just since you have more overhead costs per month per mm-hmm. unit. More units to manage, so more hassle. So, you know, if you're 65 years old and you're now just starting to decide to invest in real estate, maybe you don't want 10 units to manage, or you don't want to pay a property management company a large percentage of your revenue mm-hmm. to manage 10 properties. And you have less equity to borrow against. Now, if you've got 80% equity in the property, meaning that 80% of the property's value is owned by you and the bank, you only owe the bank 20,
mm-hmm.
You still got a lot of equity to borrow
sure,
against.
Sure.
But if you've got only 20% equity, you basically got no equity to borrow against because the bank requires you to have that in there as a minimum, basically.
Right, so right.
Those are just some of the pros and cons. So it really boils down to your situation, your risk tolerance. I'd say for young people with a high risk tolerance who are looking to build something big over the next 20, 30 years mm-hmm. or whatever, leveraging is the way to go.
You know, again, John and all you realty experts at Berkshire Hathaway, you never cease to amaze me with your knowledge and what I learned. But if there's somebody out there that's been heeing and hawing about maybe getting some rental property, get a mm-hmm. hold of you guys, and you're gonna run these guys through all of the different scenarios,
yep.
the pros and the cons of cash, the pros and the cons of financing. But you need to talk to this guy right here, realty expert John Brodine. And John, how do we get a hold of you?
Yeah, go ahead and follow me on Instagram, John Brodine Realtor. Check out my YouTube page. If you want to reach out and set something up, set up a time to meet, 701-213-5428 is my cell phone.
All right, and we will catch you on Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks for coming in. All right, there you go. Your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Realty expert John Brodeen. He'll be back again Friday morning. Same time, same place here on Grand Forks Best Source.